Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra Member Association and the Educational Minnesota Professionals Organization, and we appreciate both of their supports. Joining me today from Fairfax County, we've got Kevin Hickerson, who's president of the Fairfax Education Association. Kevin, welcome back.
Hey, good afternoon, Charles. It's been a long time since we've talked, and I can't wait to do it again today.
Kevin, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it, man. The last time you and I talked, you were doing a mad rush to all of the schools in your area, in your network. How many have you visited so far?
So we have close to 200 work locations in Fairfax County. It's 194 school buildings, and I went to 75 of them this year, or last school year. And so my goal this year is to visit the other 125 work locations basically touch all of them by the end of my second year. We're having a blitz at the beginning of the year where we're trying to get to 40 school buildings in the first 2 weeks.
There you go. You know, when you have that many buildings, that many work sites, you know, even if you're doing one or two a day, that doesn't leave a lot of time to be back in the office and doing work on behalf of the membership, does it?
Well, I mean, I feel like I'm doing a lot of work on behalf of the members out there. You know,
right.
If I'm getting the pulse and the heartbeat of what is happening in the schools, you know, I feel we can be more proactive rather than reactive. You know, it's the same way in my teaching. I'm you know, with the students and right there, you know, working with them one-on-one. And I feel the buildings need to have the same representation. So, you know, we're out there getting it done, Charles. And, you know, I feel that, you know, this is a very proactive, it's planting the seeds for unionism here in Fairfax County Public Schools.
Yeah, absolutely. And please, Kevin, don't take it the wrong way. I mean, getting out there and talking to the members is very important, finding out what they need. But also, I know as a former president that there's a lot of drudgery and paperwork, too.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, well, you know, the sick thing is, Charles, that, you know, one of the reasons I'm a special ed teacher is I like the paperwork. So, I love getting in there and you know, making all sure all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. But, no, you're right. You know, there's a lot of work to be done in the office. But, you know, and fortunately for me, I've got a great staff here that does a lot of good work. And so we actually hired a new staff person because I believe in expanding, not contracting. And, you know, to make our organization better, we need to expand our capacity rather than contract it.
Absolutely. So what are you guys working on right now?
So the great, you know, in the last couple months, Charles, it's amazing. We found out that there were some unintended consequences on the salary scales for our bachelor's and our instructional assistants. So what we did, to spare you all the gory details, they were going to cut off and freeze certain people above a certain level and not give them any pay raises until basically 8 to 10 years when the salary scales would catch up to them. So what we did was we organized. We worked with our brothers and sisters over at the AFT or the local associations, the FCFT, and we worked with them and actually got a win. We got the school board to see our side and, you know, put some more money back into the BA and IA scales so that everybody in Fairfax County could get a raise this year that was eligible for one. And so that was a great victory, and we're planning to do a lot more work together. In fact, we have an open school board seat that is actually a special election in the end of August. We have endorsed Karen Keyes-Gamara, and we found out that, you know, the AFT was also going to support Karen Keyes-Gamara. So we made a joint announcement together as union brothers and sisters to make sure that people understand that educators are united for a particular school board candidate. And I think those works together are showing a lot of unity between the union partners here in Fairfax County for teachers and for support staff.
That's a wonderful thing when you're getting all the unions and all the people involved pulling the same direction. It's amazing what kinds of things you can get done.
Well, I mean, Charles, we got to look at this. We got to look at this holistically and nationally right now. We have a president right now who abhors labor movement. He's got the support of Congress. We've got court cases up the wazoo. Friedrichs, was lucky we got a stay of execution on that. In terms of, unfortunately, we had a Supreme Court justice who passed away, but we got to stay on that. But we've got to understand that there are other cases in the pipeline. And, if we don't stick together, if we don't come together as a labor unit nationally, and I'm talking about everything, like from steel workers to electricians to firefighters to teachers, if we don't get all together and get each other's backs, we're going to drown together. And that's not palpable for anybody that's working in the United States right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm betting, Kevin, that you think communicating with the public and letting them know what's really going on, as opposed to the rhetoric that we hear, anybody who really understands what some people mean when they say school choice, once the public comes to that understanding, they don't want it. How are you educating the public? How are you getting the word out to the public about your issues?
Well, I mean, especially on a topic like school choice, I mean, you just have to be upfront and honest and open with people. And the Fairfax Education Association goes along with the Virginia Education Association, the National Education Association, which believes that every child deserves a great public education. And we concentrate on public education. And it's shown that, where we have a strong public education system, we have great success with students and we have great outcomes. It's all about communication, Charles. And, a lot of people talk about school choice and vouchers and everything. And I am blunt and I tell people that it is what it is. It's basically resegregating the schools based on income, but it also breaks down back to race, and that's what it is. It's ultimately, school choice is about school segregation. It's about making sure that the haves continue to have while the have-nots continue to have nots.
There you go. What are some of the other issues that we should be aware of in this environment with the DeVos issue? Quite honestly, the administration and too many other politicians looking at schools as a potential revenue income.
I mean, that's what we have to look at. I mean, let's look at the healthcare debate, Charles. We talk about this healthcare system that we have right now, before the ACA was enacted and after the ACA enacted, there's a commonality between both of them. There's an insurance company that's in the way that actually, barters and, takes a little bit of a cut and then distributes the rest of the money as, they see fit, whatever terms they have with their clients. That's exactly what the charter schools are going to be, and that's what school choice is ultimately, right? Or, quote unquote school choice. It's putting a middle person in between the money that is given by the public to an entity to deliver, education that previously didn't have a middle person, and now those people are taking their money and putting it into the hands of corporations, which are making obscene profits right now. The fact that we have a fast-moving stock market right now and a high stock market isn't necessarily it's good in one respect if you own stocks in those stock markets, but it's not good for the little person that is working right on Main Street. And and that's exactly what the people who want to put vouchers back into the school systems, that want to resegregate, that's what they want to do. They want to take money from the public and put it into private hands.
And that's unfortunate because the public schools suffer, and the public schools in this country are the great equalizer when it comes to education and the possibility of changing somebody's social status for something better. But that's another story. Hey, Kevin, listen, we get to take a short break. We'll come back and we'll talk some more. How's that?
That sounds great, Charles. Thank you.
Fantastic. I'm talking with Kevin Hickerson of the Fairfax Education Association. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
Nevadans with family abroad may have a much harder time bringing parents, grandparents, or siblings into the U.S. if a bill endorsed by President Trump on Wednesday becomes law. The so-called RAISE Act aims to cut the number of legal immigrants in half, mainly by disallowing certain categories of family members who can be sponsored by their American relatives. The bill would favor high-skilled English-speaking migrants. The president said the move would save American jobs, but Randy Capps from the Migration Policy Institute says the million or so legal immigrants the U.S. takes in each year make a positive contribution.
Research has generally shown that immigrants help the U.S. economy, that they have a wide variety of skills, some are highly skilled, some are less skilled, and that they spend money in the economy that leads to the creation of other jobs.
Capps says legal immigrants do introduce competition for people without a high school degree, but adds that the strong economy makes that issue of competition weak right now. The RAISE Act would severely curtail the flow of refugees and eliminate 50,000 green cards a year that now go to people from underrepresented countries, mostly in Africa and Asia. Trump has said he admires the point-based system used in Canada and Australia to attract educated workers. But Capps says that could mean those immigrants would have a harder time blending into society.
Changing the whole structure to be based simply on point systems could result in people that don't have as good ties to the U.S. when they arrive and actually increase the likelihood that they could be dependent on benefits and have more difficulty integrating in the short run.
Proponents of the RAISE Act also claim it will lessen the burden on social services. Nevada does not provide food stamps or welfare benefits to newly arrived adults until they've been in the U.S. for 5 years. However, a bill that took effect last month does extend Medicaid health coverage to children of legal immigrants upon arrival. For Nevada News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments, it doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and West Virginia AFL-CIOs, and we appreciate their support. Right now, we're talking with Kevin Hickerson. He's with the Fairfax County Education Association. Kevin, welcome back.
Hey, Charles. Good to be back.
Always a pleasure, man. Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Hey, you know what? One of the things that is kind of worrisome for me is, first of all, as a spouse of a teacher that used to be in the classroom, but others, You know, we're seeing less and less teachers go into, less and less people go into the profession of teaching. And we know that, unfortunately, student load in a classroom, you're getting more and more students in the classroom. But that workload for teachers, not that you don't want to do it, but there comes a point in time where it's, you know, you're working 3-4 hours in the evening when you're at home, you're working on student stuff on the weekends. You know, that gets to be, you know, a little bit mind numbing at times. How are you, where are you guys at, and how can the community help with that?
You know, Charles, right now in Fairfax County, we have close to 16,000, close to between 16 and 17,000 teachers in Fairfax County. And we're going to have in 2 weeks a, it's called Great Beginnings, but it's a new teacher orientation where 1,600 new teachers are being hired. And the turnover is amazing. You couldn't get it better at a French pastry shop. You know what I'm saying? So what we got going on here is we've got lots of turnover. It's a disrespect of the teaching profession that has been going on for the last 14, 15 years. And you're right, Charles. It's not the community. It's mainly the politicians that are elected that are denigrating. And this is politicians on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats. That have joined forces in some ways to, you know, for various reasons, whether it's, a corporate backing that wants to open a charter school or whatever. But they've all come into this, under this notion that teachers are just in it for the money and, you know, they don't want to work hard. But that's not true at all. In fact, you know, you'll have teachers that will stick through, you know, 3, 4, 5 years of not getting a raise or a very little one. The thing that we find is in the exit interviews is that it's the crushing workload. It's the, the disrespect, the top-down, rules that are being placed upon by whether it's the administration or whether it's the central office itself. So, you know, what we tell the community and what you find with people is that they love their own local school. You know, they find that their school is generally a great school. But what they do is they see the rest of the country and they go, well, there's other schools, those other teachers, they're not doing the job, but my teacher is a good teacher and we love them. But the community needs to stick together and they need to demand good, high-quality public schools. And as we were chatting in earlier conversations, you know, the charter school movement is being borne out because there are people that are dissatisfied with public schools. And that's okay. It's okay to criticize, and it's okay to want better from our public schools. But there are great things like community schools that are out there. And, you know, communities have to take their schools back. They have to get involved, and they, you know, even if they're working two or three jobs, they need to still be involved with their local school, because the changes that people want to make are from outside entities that don't really care what's happening in the community as much as the parents and the school members that are involved.
I agree. Despite the difficulties, teachers out there doing just heroic work, and their moms and dads and others in the community that are doing everything they can. And I get the frustrations, but I also get that oftentimes when parents see these slick radio ad or see these slick ads on cable TV, or they hear them on the radio talking about, oh, we've got the greatest school in the world and it's free and you don't have to worry about the public school system and you don't have to worry about this, that, and the other thing. You know, it you know, Kevin, when it sounds too good to be true, it just might be, you know?
Right. And I was about to say, you know, anybody offering easy solutions to complex problems either doesn't understand the problem, or they're trying to sell you something.
Right. And, you know, unfortunately, they are trying to sell you something. Okay. And, you know, this whole idea that charter schools can do it better, they can do it, you know, cheaper, so on and so forth. You know, no. When you start putting for-profit into the mix, something's got to give. It's a zero-sum game. And we know that the people running these for-profit schools are raking in dollars hand over fist. And if little Johnny's parents decide, well, I'm going to send my little Johnny to this for-profit school because I really liked the ad and they sweet-talked me and they took us out to dinner and this and that and the other thing, you know, quite frankly, once little Johnny's enrolled in this for-profit school, that money from the from the school board goes to this private organization, and they're not responsible to the parents or the students or the school board or the community or even the taxpayers. They can do whatever they want, and if little Johnny wants to go home to back to his old school, guess what? That money doesn't come back.
Nope, not at all, and. You know, say little Johnny is a student with special needs or needs
extra attention. He'd never get in.
Right, exactly. It's literally there's discrimination that goes on. Charter schools will tell you, and for-profit charter schools will definitely tell you that, you know, they don't do any of this sort of stuff and that they don't cook the books when it comes to their scores, but they do. And you know, we look at certain instances across the country of schools just shuttering themselves mid-year, and where do those kids go? They go back to the public schools, and as you're right, they don't take the money with them.
Right, and when one of those schools decides, oh, we're going to shutter ourselves, they don't even have to account where the money went to.
Sure.
You know, I mean.
It's a great scam. It's a magician's trick, and it's being pulled right now on a lot of the American public because they're taking advantage of the vulnerable who desperately want their kids to have a better life and a great education. And to me, it's shameless. It's a shameless scam that's being propagated by
right.
corporate interests.
And on top of it, when you look at the test scores, when you look at graduation rates, when you look at going on to a four-year or even a two-year institution, the numbers just aren't there. It just doesn't bear out.
Nope. Not at all.
Yeah, and Kevin, yeah. That's the big deal. I mean, we have really got to work hard to educate the public on these kinds of things, have the conversations. Is it easy in the public schools? No, absolutely not. Things need to be done. But I'm sure you, like any other teacher in the world, would say the first thing is moms and dads have to get involved.
Oh, 100%. And not only moms and dads get involved, but the educators have to actually get involved too.
Right.
Apathy is not a good thing. We can't bury our heads in the sand and wish that it goes away. We have to make the change if we want to make it.
Right. And you guys, to your credit, are doing everything that you possibly can to make sure that student arrives in the classroom ready to learn, and there are some things like breakfast, adequate clothing, rest, you know, all come, you know, they're all part of that, and you guys are trying to do everything you can to make sure that those students have what they need to come to learn, and God bless you for that. Listen, Kevin, I got to go, man. I apologize. Yep. I ran us just a little bit long. Very quickly, how do we find out more about you guys?
Sure. Facebook, Fairfax Education Association, Twitter at Fairfax, FEA Fairfax, with an underscore in between FEA and Fairfax.
There you go, brother. We appreciate it. Next time, we'll work a little bit closer on the clock. How's that?
Thank you, Charles.
Always a pleasure. Kevin Hickerson of the Fairfax Education Association. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio.